Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal
Anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
What the fuck's up, dude? How about that,
what
man?
The fuck's going on this
little,
1 year anniversary?
Flintstones anniversary song. I always thought a kick out of that shit.
Oh, yeah, that's just funny.
Episode 51, but the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, dude.
That's fucking great.
Crazy to think. April 11th last year was the first one. So we're coming up on that this week. So we thought, fuck yeah, this is 1 year. The very first episode, Drawing First Blood, appropriately titled.
Yes, sir.
Feature on David Hendricks, the local Bloomington guy accused of chopping up the wife, man. That was some crazy, gruesome shit. And, of course, right here at home. So that's kind of a cool one to start with. And it's amazing that it's our most listened to podcast. It's got over 3,000 listens at the last time I looked. It's probably more now. Episodes 2, 3, and 4 follow right behind it. So I think what's happening, people listen like we do, and then they go back.
They go back and listen. Yeah,
to
that's
older
how I do.
Ones,
if I
start
find a new
the
podcast
beginning.
I like. That's pretty much what I do. I find an episode,
yeah.
And they're like, "All right, this is
totally
good. Go back, check it out."
Yeah. So I think that's what's happening, which is awesome. So people digging it, going all the way back. So we appreciate it. Remembering when we first started the podcast on the desktop computer.
In your bedroom, like
in the bedroom,
a corner.
In a corner, yeah.
Yeah, we had to move your grandson's bed from when he spent the night. We had
right.
to move that out of the way. Set
there
it
was
up.
A whole process, yeah. And we used a mixer and some software that's different than we use now.
And when a little, we had lot guests, of dated software.
Yeah.
But it worked. It did.
And we had guests over. They had to sit on the bed. Joey, you had to do that. And Crazy Mike. And we christened, though, we did it that way for 42 episodes, and then we christened the Horns High Studio with episode 43 on Bell Gunness for a special Valentine's Day show, which was fun. So
she knew how to get money, and she knew
right.
how to murder.
She did. Now, since it's the anniversary, first year anniversary of the podcast, we'll be doing a little look back stuff of things we've done this last year, but not too much of that. Since we got a really fucking good episode in store. So
hell yeah, dude.
It's going to be a good one. We got so much stuff to talk about. We will do a little look back, but we don't want to dwell on it, man. We're looking forward. And we have two very special guests in here with us right here in the Raw. He is clothed at the moment, apparently.
He is not naked.
None other than Crazy Mike. Going to talk some nudist colony
and
stuff.
If y'all remember him, he's the couch fucker
yeah.
story.
I like telling stories, you know?
Nah, fuck yeah, dude. It's good to have you in here, Crazy Mike. What do you think of all this stuff?
Man, I'll tell
it's pretty
you,
intense,
this is
isn't it?
Great. Yeah, I'll tell you. I didn't know it was going to be like this. And I like, you know, the whole thing. It's really cool.
Yeah, fuck definitely. It's good to have you here. And, of course, you guys know Crazy Mike from episodes 3, 4, and 5, where we brought him in to tell the hilarious couch fucker saga. That was fucking epic. Three parts.
Man.
Is there any update on that guy?
Yeah, what's up? Because he had a fixation for jerking off, like, wherever. I mean, he was like about that shit.
Oh, yeah. He could do it at the doctor's office. Or
yeah, in the hospital with a fork sticking out of his eye, if
That's
I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So. But
so,
you had a little update, though,
yeah,
about him.
Have
he's
update,
having a bad time, man.
Yeah, the poor guy, he had something wrong with his eyes. And now I guess he's all the way blind. And I was just thinking, you know, now he can't find his way to the couch or something.
Oh, shit.
That fucking sucks, dude. When that's your favorite place to fuck yourself.
Yeah. He has to, somebody, you know, get him over there. I've had to take him over.
You didn't help him out with the fucking handy, dude.
No. Well, that sucks about Couch Fucker, though, man, you know. But yeah, too bad. Those were good always, episodes. If you haven't listened to those.
Parents always said you do that too much, you go blind. So, fuck
it. Oh, damn.
That's true.
That's a good one.
Just saying, bro.
Just saying. Now, the other guest, of course, a familiar face around here, our buddy Joey Cashman, Mr. Gormonger.
Hello. Over there.
What's up, Cashman?
Wearing a Boston Red Sox fucking hat.
Again. I think he doesn't.
I'm hoping CCK doesn't fucking unleash on you. So, but no, it's all good. He's going to talk some Drifter Killer stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Joey, I know you're a big fan of the Drifter Killer story, so.
Well, and like I was telling Chris, whenever, you know, I said something to you about coming out here today, and you're like, oh, you're coming out? And I was like, oh, fuck, I bet Chris was drunk when he asked me. But it's funny, though, because even since you guys started doing the podcast a long time ago, Chris had always said when you guys did the Henry Lee Lucas,
he's
like, oh, yeah, we'll have to get you out there for that one. So.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. So, yeah,
I'm glad it's the 50th episode, too.
Or that anniversary episode.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
That's what I was saying. I'm glad it's the anniversary episode.
And I'm glad we broke up the 50th and the 1 year, because the 50th was crazy. It was a good time. But I knew if we tried to do any look back stuff, it would have just been a four hour episode.
Because we kind of talked about mixing them together. And then let's make them separate.
They need to be separate, even though it's crazy back to back weeks.
The 50th was like some hardcore hanging out.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
That was a really good time.
This is back to a little more professionalism. But that was like, all right, let's get what we can, get it good. You know?
Yeah, and Crazy Mike, I was literally the only sober person on the property other than his mother. And I don't think Jenny was drinking, or if she was, she was not drunk. The whole fucking everybody was fucked up. And all I'm day. Like, oh,
dude,
my God.
I would have, Mike, dude, check this
if out. If I would have known it was going to be as big as that, I would have had you come over. But I only thought I invited the bands, and I told them they could bring a few people
and
with
next
them.
Thing Pete knows,
and
he's like,
I knew I was
going
to have people here, because I told the guys from Big Bad Hogs, Big Mike's business, 20 people.
That was more than 20 people.
There were people showing up. I'm like, where the fuck are all these people coming from?
Yep.
We had the bands playing in that room in there. And well, the
dude,
doors
fucking
wide
awesome,
open
dude.
And fucking people all around. And
which the event of Collapse, you posted that one?
Yes.
Today, right?
Yesterday I posted that. I'm working on the chalk one. So that one turned out good too. But I thought the event of Collapse one turned out. I don't know if you
I haven't watched it yet.
But it turned out pretty good. Yeah, I had some issues with my camera, and I was surprised I got as much as I did.
Right.
So that worked out good. So we got some crazy mayhem stories, you know, that we've told. Man, Joey, the cross-country skiing story with that MILF and Forest. That was
awesome,
good.
Dude. So now every time you go through Forest, it's like...
I do. I text you every time I do. I do.
That's funny, dude.
And then, of course, Chris, your brother Michael with some good drunk stories. Our own fucking, you know, the Black and Curly stories, the Freddie Frankfurter.
Me and my dad and brother getting kicked out of Hank Williams Jr.
Totally, yeah. I mean, those were fucking hilarious.
And I want to go back on that story. I made it sound like Michael was the only one drunk. I hope everybody knows
that.
No. Obviously, he is not the only one.
No, I think that's a given. I don't think that would be a smart assumption to think that only one Shaw back in the crowd is drunk.
There's three of you guys. Well, there's four of you, but the one don't drink.
Well, he shows up Sunday. We're supposed to do an interview, and he comes up the back walkway, and he's like, I'm really drunk. And it's like fucking 1 o'clock, whatever time it was. I'm like, okay. And he's like, I only slept a few hours, and that's literally the only time I stopped drinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. And then he's like, where did my dad go? And he's over there walking to IGA, comes back.
Dad comes back
with
fucking
more beer.
Oh,
I'm like, yeah. God.
I was drinking Bush. Dad comes walking back with a 12-pack of Shiners. I'm like, oh, he brought that dad beer. Yeah.
That was hilarious, man. Just fucking hilarious. So we've had some really funny times in here. And what about the guy that I went to high school with that had so much ass hair he had to cut it when he shit the net? Yeah, so the net was a good story. There's just been the fucking million of them. The full terror assault when You lost
I lost my fucking teeth.
And found them the next day.
That's so fucked, dude.
That's so fucking crazy.
So fucked.
So we've had some really fucking good stories in here, and it's been great. Of course, we got CK with us tonight doing a live Skype call. Take a look back at his past year with the metal segments and how it evolved from doing the vinyl.
And then it's just like, you know what? Fuck it. It ain't just got to be vinyl. You pick something you want to talk about that's metal and fucking talk
about.
Well,
we're getting a lot of feedback from CK being on the show. He was on episode 5, the first one he was on.
Right.
And then it was been every week. Some of them we pre-taped because he was busy working.
Conflicting schedules. Yeah. Shit, but it has. Still, he's still
he loves to call in live, so it's always fun when he
and
calls in.
And the one when you were actually over there in Connecticut.
Yeah, we did one with you here and us there, so that was awesome. So we've tried to get CK involved, and that's why we, of course, get CCK, Cardboard CK. So he's here with us all the time, even though he's out there in Danbury, Connecticut. And you know, he's such a big part of the show. We had Dathan draw his caricature too.
Yeah,
so he's on the logo with us. So he's just a great dude.
As much a part of this as we are.
He is. He's a huge part of the show. In addition to the CK part of the metal segment, though, we've done some really good interviews. We did some non-metal, you know, like Jeff Gaither, the artist.
Yeah, Brian
Rick
Usual.
Fisher with these fucking masks.
Dude, Greg Fisher, Sick Rick Masks. Dude. I'm fucking killing it.
Yeah, Brian Usual. We did that interview with April Jones
that did the Mentors movie. Yeah.
Felipe Balcazar, who did that Death documentary, which is fucking amazing. We interviewed Lee Harrison of Monstrosity, Joey Vera, Fate's Warning, and the Eric Barath one of Indestructible Noise Command. Yeah. And one of my favorites, though, Dr. Heathen Scum of the Mentors. That was a good one. And many more. We've done some really good ones. And we've done some local stuff.
All kinds of local
Chalk, Event of Collapse, Murder Complex.
Gore Martyr Joey right here. But
first one to play in the
like
Gray Room.
Like a sidekick now, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Joey was the first one to play in the Gray Room as Goremonger. Yeah, so that was awesome. Episode 45. And then last week we got to hear episode 50 where we had both Chalk and Event of Collapse in here playing live. It was a great time. So we're just having a good time in here doing this.
We always have a good time.
Having
it's
a good
fucking
time.
Fun,
fucking
man.
Killing it too with the number of listens we're getting is just fucking exploding. So we appreciate you guys,
shit,
man.
Yeah, it's fucking fun doing this shit. I look
now,
forward
this
to
week, yeah, I mean, this week is just off the fucking hook with who we're going to be talking about. We've been talking about this one for a while.
Yeah.
Some fucking Henry Lee Lucas, dude. I mean, goddamn. Drifter Killer and his little trusty sidekick.
Otis Tool.
Not Otis, it's Otis, spelled O-T-T-I-S. And we've got the coffin case with Otis out here on the table.
Yeah, we do.
And
it's
we got
fucking
the,
beautiful.
The Henry Lee book and stuff. I mean, he looks special, doesn't he, Crazy Mike?
Oh, yeah. Is there an Otis bobblehead?
No, there's not. I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
A Henry Lee and Otis side by side, connected, wouldn't it?
Looks like a
think about great. That guy. That's a good idea.
Or banging his ass or something,
dude. They were fucking each other.
Oh, they were. So
with the bobblehead of them banging,
that'd be so fucked, dude.
Right?
That'd be so fucked.
And there is some controversy with these two because a lot of people think they grossly exaggerated their number of kills. So we'll talk about that.
Too.
It's just some funny stuff, but Henry Lee Lucas is just a good one to talk about. Just a fucking piece of shit, but at the same time, just so fucking wild with the one eye and fucking
his stank ass, smelled of cat piss. Fucking stank, cadmium poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, he's just fucked, so it's going to be a gruesome one. We've done some fucked up features, though. Some that stand out to me. And I know we love doing the episode 6, which was the Mother's Day special with the Australian cannibal.
Catherine Knight, dude.
Catherine
fucking
Knight.
Skinning that motherfucker to precision, though.
In one piece.
Precision, dude.
Skinned her boyfriend in one fucking piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was fucking
And we talked to Amanda Howard, which was our first Skype interview there in episode 6.
All the way down in fucking Australia. Hey, Amanda, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Last episode you guys did was awesome, so go check them out. Monsters Who Murdered.
Yeah, I love that podcast. It's really good. Episode 11, we did Zodiac Palooza. Episode 16, little Vigilante Justice with
Kid
your boy
McElroy.
Ken McElroy, episode 26.
Town terrorizer, and everybody got sick of him.
Gun his ass down. Fuck you, man. Episode 26, we totally mixed it up with the ghost hunt at Shakers in Milwaukee. Joey, you were there with us for that. That was a good time.
That was awesome.
We're planning on doing this.
Yeah, we're planning on trying to work it out with Bob. He's super busy this time of year, but it might have to go into August because I know we were talking about May, but
right.
I don't know if we're going to be able to pull it off with the horror hose because they're really busy because Dee's doing a lot of photography.
Oh, no shit.
It'd be creepier closer to fall anyway.
Yeah, I thought so too. So
they're talking about staying in the basement this time, right?
Yeah, that all nighter in the basement. Yeah,
that would be like a whole new ball game.
Yeah, oh yeah, that would ratchet it up a couple notches. Yeah. It's fucking crazy shit.
That was the creepiest spot for me. Yeah, for sure, it was down there.
Episode 32, Acid King Ricky Casso.
That's my boy.
Say you love Satan. So there's been some good ones, man.
And Supreme.
We got an interesting thing to play for you guys in the Mayhem segment. Chris, your daughter Kaya wrote a poem.
Yes, she did. It's
very
really
well
awesome.
Written, very creepy and cool. And so we got her to read it, and we recorded it. And we'll share that with everybody in the Mayhem segment.
Also with the poem we were talking earlier. Cashman did a song using the poem. She did vocals on it. Cashman's doing vocals on it.
Nice.
And fucking, so we're going to play that on the podcast eventually. We ain't going to saturate it with Kaya tonight.
I'll get it to you guys.
Yeah. No, what's the song called?
It's called Kaya's Poem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And none of these accomplishments, though, would be possible without you guys that are listening. We've seen the listens climb since we started. I mean, I remember some of the early episodes were getting 30, 40 plays, you know, and then now it's just going nuts. And we're all over the globe, which is really cool to see. People in places like Serbia, Estonia, Cyprus. It's just amazing to me, you know.
Cypress Hill?
Fucking nuts.
It's from the bone.
Countries like Canada, the UK, Australia, Norway, Germany. I mean, it's just really awesome. And, of course, our U.S. fans, Chicago continues to dominate the number one spot with Bloomington, Illinois, second place. And the cities vary. But, you know, Danbury, Connecticut, we got CK out there. So he's bringing Sexy back. He's got the ladies listening. I'm sure.
I bet he does. I bet your Laura's all about it. She's pimping him out.
New York City, Omaha, Nebraska, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, St. Paul, Minnesota. Just so many. It's just great. So thank you guys for a great first year. And we hope to be doing this for a long time in the future. Thanks to our friends at Psycho Killer Bobbleheads. What do you guys think of these bobbleheads? Joey, what do you think, dude?
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, and I These gave you one coolest. That I thought you would like to sit in front of you tonight.
We've been playing with them, so we shipped them.
So you've got which one, so people know what you're...
Jeffrey Dahmer
nice.
Is sitting in front of me.
And Crazy Mike, you got...
I got Ellen...
Eileen.
Oh, Eileen.
Yeah.
Eileen Wuornos.
Wuornos.
In a dominatrix outfit with electrical tape on her nipples, dude.
Wow.
That's why I gave that one to you tonight to look at while you're talking.
I've been checking those babies out.
But if you see her in real life, dude, like, yeah, she's rough. She's dead now, so she's really rough.
Casey's outfit cracks me, or Dahmer's outfit
I know. Cracks me up. The Bon Appetit shirt is fucking great. So these are awesome. So Cycle Killer Bobbleheads has been a great new sponsor. They got 16 of these things. So go to CycleKillerBobbleheads.com and pick up one of the whole set of 16. You could buy them individually if you want. They've got T-shirts. They got more on the way. Doing an interview with the president, Rob Murray.
We'll be doing that tomorrow.
Yeah, we're taping it tomorrow. So it'll be coming up hopefully in the next episode. So you guys can check that out. And so Chris, dude, we got a lot to do tonight. We got Crazy Mike. We got fucking Joey here with us. I hear the car warming up,
man.
Henry and Otis.
Sometimes you just got to go for a cruise.
That's right.
Murder a bitch and then fuck her. So let's get our murder on.
Fuck yeah. Our drifter killer murder.
Drifter killing.
All right.
Mmm, fucking Grindzilla, dude. This shit makes me want to just like.
Well, I know that's like one of your favorites, dude. So I picked that one out. Thought you would dig that shit. So we're talking some Henry Lee Lucas, probably the most prolific, depending on who you talk to, serial drifter killer the U.S. has ever seen. Man, just fucking crazy. Controversial confessions. After his arrest in Texas, to hundreds of unsolved murders all over the fucking place.
Confessed to a lot of shit that he did. Might not be possible, but yeah, a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, and he actually was convicted of 11 murders, so it's not like the dude was innocent, but the scope of what he did very likely exaggerated, which is why they called him the confession killer. His crazy sidekick, the bumbling dumbass, Otis Toole. Drifter killing days with Otis and just roaming the countryside.
Otis like dick, too.
He did. They both did. It was kind of a crazy combination with those two.
Yeah, that was weird.
Henry's killing started with his own mother in 1960 and ended with his arrest in 1983.
Right. That's fucked up. Fucking. Yeah.
First murder
to kill
mom.
His mom, though.
Yeah.
I think his mom was an ex.
Well, he didn't say it was. He said it wasn't, but he's hard to fucking believe. What the fuck? Yeah,
who
you know,
the fuck knows?
He's a bullshitter.
A, he's a liar, and B, I think like he probably believed some of the shit
that he said. Told it so many times. Yeah, yeah. I agree. So he had a 20-year cross-country run, a wild story, and Lucas is one we've wanted to do for a long time. So doing him on the 1-year anniversary, definitely perfect.
Fucking
so.
A, man.
Now he was born 1936, Blacksburg, Virginia. Taking it not a metropolitan, you know, area, very backwoods, like dirt roads and
Virginia
shacks
in the
and 30s. Shit like that.
Nothing against anybody in
no,
Virginia,
not at just... all. Not at all. He just grew up really poor, which is part of his background because he grew up with a drunk for a father who lost his legs getting run over
right.
by a train because he was
passed out on the train tracks. And they said it was a slow-moving train, too.
I know.
Fucking Amtrak slides over you.
At least if it was fast, you wouldn't even know what happened.
No, he's fucking feeling that shit like, da-dun, 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 da-dun,
da-dun. And a prostitute for a mother, and she was fucking nasty, too. I mean,
she was like in her 50s when he was born hooking.
Yeah. She was like hooking almost to 70. I mean, that's rough. She was known as a, Mike, what do you think about this? A 50-cent hooker was what she was known for. So I'm thinking the quality just isn't there, Mike.
Yeah. I don't
the know couch what. Might actually be better.
Yeah, the couch is only a quarter, you know. Yeah. Fucking, if you're going economy, man, a couch or a love seat would be the way to fucking go.
They call
there.
It a love seat for a reason.
That's right. That's what couch fuckers should do is go work for like Ashley Furniture. Could you imagine seeing a commercial for a love seat and say they call it a love seat for a reason?
He's up on top.
They
man.
Cut to him fucking you banging know, the couch. Yeah.
Banging away.
Jesus.
He'd walk into work the first day and be like, I'm so triggered, so many triggers. Yeah. It'd be fucking rock hard the whole time.
He's showing like this older couple a fucking sectional. And he's all fucking rubbing up on her and shit.
You should do a couch fucker commercial for Metal Mayhem.
Well,
style.
We did a couch fucker yeah. something with couch fucker.
I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Just recently we did that, I think.
Oh my God.
So just fucking nasty. The poor bastard grew up in a fucked up environment, man. His father wound up dying of hypothermia from being drunk outside in the snow because apparently he wanted to kill himself for having to watch his wife do tricks because that was she made
them
watch. Oh,
yeah, she made both of them watch
yeah.
while she's banging these
Yeah,
dudes.
Like all the time, and it was like gather around in the living room while mom watch has out. Sex with some random dude. I mean, it's just That's some so pretty funny. Crazy shit. At 10 years old...
What?
I mean, I guess I would kill myself if I was legless.
Yeah, you
just
can't.
Throw myself in the snow and say,
you definitely kicking nobody's ass. Ha ha ha.
I mean, that's just fucked up, you know. Now, 10 years old, Henry and his brother were fucking around with a knife. He got stabbed in the eye, wound up losing the eye. But then he started. It started to heal, and then it got re-aggravated at school with some
the fucking teacher
hit him with a ruler.
And she's, I guess she's throwing at another kid. Like the teacher's throwing rulers at kids in school.
And hit him in the eye.
Yeah, misses the kid.
And fucked his eye up again, and then he had to lose
his eye. He's like, God damn it, I'm going to kill some people.
Right? I think I'm going to kill some motherfuckers. Yeah.
My life's fucked. Fuck them all, dude.
It's like, that's twice in the same eye. God right? Damn.
So the fake eye didn't really work. It made him look creepy as fuck. And always like, fucking teared and like tears were streaming
like
down his face.
Nasty eye snot and shit.
And it really made him look even creepier. And then the kids at school said he smelled like cat piss all the time.
Yeah, so, he had like lead and cadmium poisoning or some shit like that, dude.
He did. He said his mother put him in dresses and sent him to school looking like a girl. I mean, that's fucked up. Which is obviously humiliating.
That's so bad.
And then she would dress him up like that and mock him while men were there to have sex with her. And they would make fun of him, too. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's fucking parenting 101
right,
right there,
I mean,
man.
This is like how to raise a serial killer for dummies. You know, like, fuck.
It's like the Cliff's Notes.
It's horrible. I mean, we're laughing, but it's fucking horrible, you know?
Yeah, man.
10 years old, you know, he loses his fucking eye. He's fucking a mess. Drops out of school in sixth grade, though. Can't say you fucking blamed him. He fucking runs away. Drifted around Virginia till like 1951, where he claims he killed his first person, a 17-year-old girl who refused his sexual advances, and he strangled her to death. But later, he recanted. So who knows?
Out of that, though.
Hard to say. 1954, convicted of more than a dozen burglaries, gets sentenced to 4 years. He escapes 3 years later, but was only free for 3 days before they caught his ass. Then he's let out in 59. I mean, this is like a crazy story of he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. Fucking
career criminal.
Career
status.
Criminal for sure. He goes to Michigan and marries this woman, Crazy Mike, that was writing to him in prison. So he was hooking up with her. He gets married. His mother comes to visit. She doesn't fucking like her.
No, they didn't even get married.
They didn't get married. Oh, he went to marry her. And
he was going to marry her.
Yeah, and the mother threw a fit, and the girl was like, fuck this.
Fuck this bitch,
hey,
dude.
You know
that's
what?
True.
That's how Couch Fucker got married to his wife.
Really?
She used to ride him in prison.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Nice little tie into the Couch Fucker. Yeah,
that's fucking great. That's
Isn't awesome. That special?
That is.
Now, in 1960, while he's still living in Michigan, still there in Michigan, he gets in a fight with his mother. She wants him to take care of her. He says, fuck you. And she gets killed in the scuffle. But there's a lot of controversy.
I didn't know I had the knife in my hand, is what he said.
Yeah. And he claims she hit him with a broom. He accidentally stabbed her in the neck. So I don't know how you do that, but whatever. He gets sentenced to 20 to 40 years in Michigan, but he only does 10 due to prison overcrowding. So this dude is a fucking poster boy for, you know, why you shouldn't let these fucking people out. I mean, goddamn, you know.
Well, it probably had something else to do with, like, what we've talked about before, fucking getting beat in the head.
Oh, yeah.
His mom hit him with a fucking 2x4. Fucking he was out for 3 days.
Yeah, he was. That's right. That's Jesus right. So Christ, another dude. One with the head injury thing. Not to mention the eye incident twice, you know. So pretty fucked up.
You know what's weird to me is, like, your biggest United States for serial murder, Illinois, Texas, Michigan, California, Florida.
Right.
So many of these guys, like the Drifter Killers especially,
yeah,
they all have connections in those states too. So it's like, that's it's true. Not just a coincidence there's mad serial murder going on
right
in those states, and there have been.
Right.
But these prominent killers that move around choose right. these places too.
That's weird. Yeah,
now,
that
I
is
live
true.
In Texas, California, and Illinois, so, you know.
Right.
You're
getting
three
there.
Of them.
You're getting there.
You can't go to Florida, though. Bundy learned that, because then you just get killed.
That's
if
true.
If he would have stayed in Washington, he'd be like Gary Ridgway.
Sure.
And just have life.
Well, Texas,
that.
They kill you quick there, too.
In Texas, too, yes.
Yeah, because when I lived there, it was like every couple months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was fucking insane. In 71, he gets convicted of trying to kidnap 3 schoolgirls, does 5 years, gets out again, bounces around to some family, crashing on people's couches. Eventually, though, Chris, finds the love of his life, the gangly Otis Tool.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Jacksonville, Florida. Otis is gay. Henry's bisexual. Nothing wrong with that. But they begin to have a relationship, and things get kind of weird. They move in with Otis's parents, which is kind of special.
Didn't his mom... They end up moving out because Henry kind of took over or whatever?
Well, he hooks up. That's what... he hooks up
with Becky,
the niece of Otis, or Otis. Becky, she had a low IQ, or they both had low IQs. So
yeah, and Henry's like in his 30s, and she's like 14.
Right, so that's like that. Fucked up. So he takes off with her to California. They end up in Texas, taking care of an elderly woman. But that doesn't last too long because they start stealing fucking money from her, and the family tells them, get the fuck out.
Yeah, you can't be here no more.
So they're gone. Now, while they're hitchhiking, they get picked up by a preacher, which is crazy, from a religious commune. This like reads like a fucking novel. The House of Prayer in Stoneburg, Texas. So right. Now they think these two are married, despite, like you said, Chris, Becky at this time is only 15, but she was 14 when they left. The commune accepts them, but soon realizes they're up to fucking no good. Henry's working on and off as a roofer. Now, go figure, Chris. How many roofers do you know that, you know, tend to do some bad things maybe in their free time? You know?
I used to roof.
point made. No, not to disparage roofers, but you guys know what I'm saying. The construction trades in general tend to...
We're a bunch of dirty motherfuckers, dude.
So he's working as a roofer and on and off. Now they start fighting because she wants to go back to Florida. She's homesick. And
well, she got fucking, they kidnapped her, broke her out of that juvenile detention shit.
So that's
she's
right.
She's kind of like a fugitive still.
That's right.
She found Jesus.
That's right. And she wants to go home, but they think that Henry killed her. And also that they killed the old woman that they were taking care of. He denies both of those murders. So hard to say. 1983, gets arrested by the Texas Rangers. Not the baseball team, Crazy Mike.
Oh.
The cops. The Texas Rangers. For having an unlawful firearm. While in custody, he claims the other inmates are treating him rough. He attempts suicide. He claimed the cops stripped him naked, denied him food and water, kept him in a cold cell, and refused him an attorney. And obviously, not saying shit like that doesn't happen, but when you're hearing it from Henry...
Yeah, you're hearing it from Henry Lee Lucas,
You just don't know. You just don't know. Now, he does admit to killing the old woman, and apparently he realizes that if he confessed to some unsolved murders... He's like VIP in it, man. Yeah,
he gets fucking special treatment.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. They're taking him out to lunch.
Wow.
I mean, this dude is suspected of killing all these people, and they're taking him to fucking lunch.
Driving him around.
Like, out of the fucking prison. He's getting all these cigarettes he fucking wants.
It said he got his teeth fixed, and he was all stoked because he
was yeah.
in the public eye.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a celebrity. And he's got this, like, if you listen to what he says, like hundreds of fucking people he killed. So it seems legit. I mean, they got cops coming in from all over the country with lists of all their unsolved murders. And he's like, yeah, I did that one and that one and that one. And they're like putting this shit on maps. I mean, it's ridiculous.
How the fuck did you do that and that?
And there were some people in some of the stuff I watched that were like, we knew he was full of shit, but we were solving unsolved cases and people love that. And it looks good, which is awful. But that's
still
how
the real
some
killers out there
it,
somewhere.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, but for maybe an election, you know, or something, you show that you
get a high rate of
caught these guys and this
and
that. And if he's admitting to it, fuck, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them, not all of them, but some of them probably said, hey, I don't care whether it's credible or not. You know, we'll go ahead.
Gotcha. You confessed to it. He did it.
Right. So he's a celebrity, thinks he's fucking all that. They believed that he had connection with 28 murders for sure. They established the Lucas Task Force, and they believed that task force thought he had committed 210 unsolved murders. And the whole time, you know, he's being treated really good. So you have to think, you know, I don't know, Joey, what do you think? It seems kind of like he probably was bullshitting, oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, he was so excited whenever, like you said, the police were coming from everywhere. And with all the attention he was getting,
yeah.
I'm sure the letters he was getting and mail. And this is the first time this dude's ever experienced anything like that. He don't care that he's locked up because, you know,
he didn't want to be out of prison anyway.
He's getting better treatment in prison than he was fucking living on the road starving and shit.
I definitely think that the number is, like, probably nowhere near as high as what they say. I'm sure that he got a good handful, though.
Oh, yeah. There were probably a few that
he never even remembered, ever. Probably. Never got found. Or
I mean, how could you possibly, you know, the way he was? You know?
Like, he drank more than me, so I'm telling you.
That's an accomplishment. Now, another thing that Henry claims, he and Otis were part of a nationwide satanic cult called the Hand of Death, which is ridiculous. There's a book about those claims. Seems to be very far-fetched.
It's called The Hand of Death.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's called The Hand of Death.
Yeah, I remember hearing the guys on last podcast on the left talk about it. It sounded kind of funny. They were mocking it.
Yeah.
But it sounded kind of ridiculous.
I can't remember the interview, but it's with David Berkowitz. I think it was like one of the last ones he did. And he talks very heavily about how he was involved in a satanic cult up in New York, and how most of those homicides were part of that group, and he was just...
No shit.
I should let you borrow that, because it is super interesting.
Huh.
But, you know, and it's all the same thing. It could all be bullshit. He's had all this time to think all this shit up.
Oh, sure.
But they actually, like, they go out and investigate in the documentary to these places he's talking about in these parks, you know, and they find, you know... signs of things that could have been ritualistic.
That's crazy, dude.
And there's other people to corroborate some of it. But it seems kind of like what you're talking about here, the Hand of Death.
Oh, sure.
So the connection there is just kind of ironic.
Yeah, because Manson was supposedly talking about that Hand of Death, too. So
I mean, this would be cover something the whole nation, then.
It's very possible. You know, who knows?
It's Illuminati, man.
That's right. It's the Freemasons. 1985, the Dallas Times-Herald reported that it was impossible that Henry committed all the murders. They plotted him on a map. He would have had to drive over 11,000 miles in 1 month. And the dates didn't make it possible because he was working and he was on the payroll at the time. So it seems like there really isn't a way he was able to do all of that and
maybe
roof all day long.
He was getting paid to murder, dude.
I don't know.
Hey, you're on the clock. Go kill this bitch, and then you can fuck her after you kill her.
So it's hard to say, but it seems kind of far-fetched. And it was because of this article that the governor at the time, George W. Bush, commuted Henry's death sentence to life without parole in 1998. March of 2001, Henry died of heart failure in his cell at age 64. He's buried at the prison cemetery there in Huntsville, Texas. That's where they do all their
prison burials.
Executions there at Huntsville.
Oh, right.
In an unmarked grave to prevent vandalism. And people like us who would probably go and take pictures with it.
Be like, I know selfies I'm fucking morbid and shit. But yeah. Fuck.
So,
like Joey in his fucking jar of Ed Gein dirt.
You get some Ed Gein dirt, Joey?
That's ironically what I was going to tell in the Mayhem story.
Oh, fuck.
No, it's cool. I got you. So keep listening, guys.
All right. Yeah, there's a little tease. There's a little tease. Now, from a Florida prison, 1983, old Otis Toole confesses to killing Adam Walsh in 1981. And, of course, those of us that are old enough to remember that, Adam Walsh, the son of John Walsh,
good old who America's started Most Wanted.
Yeah, and that's
why
he started it.
I used to watch that shit all the time. Yeah, it's like, interesting. I'm going to see somebody I know. Come on.
Somebody from Pontiac.
Right? Come on, no whammies.
Otis said he tortured, raped, and beheaded the boy. Hollywood, Florida police closed the case in 2008 officially and said it was Otis, so who knows. Some people, again, questioned it. There was no evidence that tied him. Other than the confession, there's nothing that tied him, from what I was told, to the crime.
Well, and also what I heard is whenever, you know, he confessed to it.
Right.
All of the details had already been on the news.
Oh, sure.
So he already knew
what happened,
what to say.
Right.
It wasn't like we're talking about the cop, the guy.
Right.
He knew those details that they didn't say right. nothing about, so obviously. But this, everything that he claimed was something that anybody could have claimed.
Right.
And the notoriety for being the guy that did that was probably appealing to him.
Oh,
especially.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I totally believe that, but they did close it saying.
Yeah.
And did you hear, there was also, for a while, they said that Jeffrey Dahmer was the one that could have did it.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Because he was living in Miami at the right. time, but I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't dumb,
and that's
either.
Not really his M.O. that young a boy, because he was already into older guys
right.
even from his
and
early
days. Mostly black dudes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
that's a different episode. It'll be Dahmer sometime.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. Now, so. His niece, though, he dies at 49 of cirrhosis of the liver. His niece claimed that on his deathbed, he said he did kill Adam Walsh. But again, who knows?
Who knows? That's his legacy now.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's known for. There have been a number of books written about Henry Lee Lucas. I read The Confessions of Henry Lee Lucas by Mike Cox. That's a wild tale.
Mike Cox.
Not knowing
how
much
bullshit. I have a friend named Mike Cox, too. And when the local rock radio station, they were giving away free beer on Fridays.
Yeah.
And so, like, when they were doing that, if you got called in, you got the right numbers, get a free case of beer. It's like, fucking A, we're fucking doing that. So we all, me and a bunch of my friends all worked together and fucking, then we got other people's addresses and names and everything, wrote it out because we'd all call in and we'd win like all the time, dude. Like every Friday, we'd get 1 to 3 cases of beer off the radio.
Damn.
And we'd get other people's information. If one of us got on the phone, we'd give them their name and everything. And my buddy, Mike Cox, gave us his shit, and on the radio he's like, who's this? He's like, oh, I'm like, I can't remember if it wasn't me. I don't remember who it was, but they was like, yeah, this is Mike Cox, and the DJ on the radio stage is like, are you fucking serious? Well, he didn't say fucking, but he's like, wait, right. is that your real name or some shit like that? It's like, yeah, it's funny. Mike Cox.
That's good. So yeah, I mean, it's just, who knows with this stuff. It reminds me, though, of the book Pee Wee Gaskins wrote, The Final Truth, which, you know, seems to be a lot of bullshit.
That's Final Truth.
Right? That's Final Truth. There were a few movies written about Henry. The one, the most popular, Henry, The Portrait of a Serial Killer. I just watched it again the other night.
Henry's fucking awesome.
It is pretty good, but it's very loosely based on the story. It's definitely not factually correct.
The only reason that one gets as much of a slide, I think, because I love that movie, but it's not, it's you know, it's just like tiny pieces of the story, but because it came out in 86, so it's just going off the stories that you're hearing, and back then you didn't have all the information.
Right,
because
it was pretty fucking new
and
shit. So
I give John McNaughton a slide on the fact that it's not very factual, you know. It's a good movie. There's classic shit in it, but as far as Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole and Becky, it's...
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I love the movie, and let me just say, I just got this new movie called The Harvest, and if anybody's into, like, psychological thrillers, John McNaughton did this, and he revisits, like, the depraved mind of humans. It's not a monster or a scare, it's a fucking human horror movie.
Oh, nice.
Called The Harvest, and, yeah, check that out. But John McNaughton, who did it, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Okay.
Yeah. Fucking A, dude.
That's cool. Now, another bit of information that's interesting is Henry Lee Lucas related to another serial killer, his distant cousin, Bobby Joe Long. So, sounds like a race car driver or something.
It does sound like it does.
He's on death row currently in Florida for killing at least 10 women and raping at least 50 during the 80s. Definitely a sick bastard. So it's got to be something in the blood, man, with those two. With a family fucking
reunion.
We're
definitely going to have to do that. And he obviously, Joey knows all about him. I never heard of him.
Yeah, I never.
Earlier.
And one of my songs I actually sampled in the Laughable CD, I sampled Bobby Joe Long. But I didn't know until today when Pete told me
that
there
related.
Was a connection with Henry.
Yeah, Lee. I was surprised. And I checked several sources, and it looks legit.
It looks legit.
It looks legit. Says he's a distant cousin, but didn't get into exactly how they're related, but I read several different things.
It wouldn't matter.
That said
fucking
the same
Henry'd
thing.
Fuck him anyway.
I mean, Henry would have probably had a better fucking run with him than with Otis as a buddy killer.
Probably.
More like Hillside Stranglers.
Yeah, because they were pretty close in time, too. So.
Yeah.
Now, next time we'll be featuring a local Central Illinois case, the Beeson murders, Chris. That's a good one. A horrible story, though. Family of five brutally slain
that's
in 2009.
What? Just that whole thing where you're talking about somebody getting murdered, and one of us is like, that's a good one, dude. Like, Jesus Christ, we're so
I know. Like we've always said, these are fucking horrible stories, and we try to, in a dark way, find some silliness in it, but it's fucking brutal.
Yeah,
this one in particular.
And Beeson, that's close to us.
Yeah, very small town, less than 200 people, not even 45 minutes from here. The ex-husband of one of the daughters was convicted of the murders, and it's a sad and interesting story. But we want to thank Justin Morris for suggesting the topic.
Yeah, definitely.
And we both agreed it would be a good one to do. We always like to do the local stuff every now and then. Little change of pace.
Let you guys know what it's like in Central Illinois.
That's right. So we've done a few. We did Hendrix. We mentioned that. We also did the Bone Saw.
Larry Bright.
Yeah, the Bone Crusher. I'm sorry. Bone Crusher, Larry Bright from Peoria.
And it wasn't a murder, but Mad Gasser and Matt too.
Yeah,
that's
Mad
right.
Gasser.
That's right. Can't forget about
dude,
the
Mad
Gasser.
I love the Mad Gasser story.
Yeah,
that's
a great
fun,
one.
Dude.
It's a good one. So, you know, with local stories, we do them now and then. Well, this is the one-year anniversary podcast. Would not be complete without CK coming in on the 9:20 train out of Danbury. Does anybody hear?
I hear that
train whistle
coming down the tracks.
Yeah, CK's coming in on the train, and I think it's time to do some. What do you think, Chris?
Let's get a fucking medal on.
Fuck yeah.
Check out my new TV show on the Gay USA Network, Tool Time with Otis.
You mean like Tim Allen? Tool Time? Who the hell is Otis?
No, it's not that homophobic cretin. This is my kind of show. We'll demonstrate how to properly use various sex toys like dildos and bamboo balls. Plus, use new lubes that are out there on the market and some new blowjob techniques. You know?
That's not my thing, man. It sounds like you dig that sort of thing.
So, watch the pilot show for Tool Time with Otis this Easter Sunday and see me prance around in a bunny suit laying eggs from my butthole. Hope to see you guys soon. Love ya. Bye.
Fuck yeah, jamming
nuclear
some
assault.
Fucking nuclear assault. Got CK on the phone on Skype. What's up, CK?
What's up?
Fuck yeah, dude. Jamming the fuck out over here, talking some Drifter Killers with my boys, Crazy Mike Lanham, Joey Cashman, and
of course
Mr. Chris Shaw back
here. How you doing, brother?
Fuck yeah.
It's all good. It's all good.
Awesome. Well, we heard the train coming in, Chris, so we wanted to get you off the train and give us some metal knowledge. And I know
think Drifters rode trains a lot too.
They did. Yeah. That hobo life. Right. So you said you had something special. This is of course the 1 year anniversary show, and it's awesome to see. We talked about in the intro how you appeared in, I think it was episode four or five.
I think five
was the first one you were on. And we talked about vinyl and then, you know, how it's grown. So I'll be interested to hear your take as we look back on a great year, man. It's been this week is marks 1 year of the podcast. So
yeah, I mean, I remember when you guys were starting the podcast, you said you wanted me to get involved in some way. So I remember us coming with an idea about obviously I'd be involved in metal.
Right.
Like duh. But I remember we were throwing around ideas, and we originally started out as like, it was supposed to be a vinyl,
Right.
Yeah, a new vinyl segment. Coming out or vinyl that.
Yeah, the first few were like that.
Yeah. You know, and somehow it just morphed into we're picking a band or a subject, and that's what we decided to discuss, you know.
Right.
I think it actually turned out better than we thought originally.
I agree.
I like the way it's turned out so far. A lot of other people seem to think so.
Yeah,
dude,
we get all kinds of good compliments about the segment, so it's awesome, man.
I mean, we have more than enough ideas, and I think we covered some really kick-ass bands, and I hope I've gotten people into some bands that they've never even heard of. I know we got a lot of people into Revocation, High on Fire.
Right.
Right.
So that's the whole idea behind it, is to get people into bands that they may not know of and or bands that they may have forgotten from, you know, 25 years ago. I mean,
yeah, like holy shit. Yeah,
Indestructible Noise Cabane would be a good one. You know, like a lot of people might have not followed them, you know, in recent time, and then this new album fucking killing it, you know. So it's awesome to share that with other metalheads and, like you said, turning people on to shit they weren't aware of, and it's just fucking awesome, dude.
You know, and plus love and I listen to. I'm not going to cover what I'm not into because it's not right.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to give it the proper, you know, proper treatment it deserves.
What was that? Because you cut out a little bit there, so I didn't hear what you were referring to about not covering.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You cut out for just like, a second.
Like covering a band that I'm not into.
Oh, sure.
It's not going to be the right thing to do because I'm not into them. I can't give a band that I'm not into, you know, proper treatment. So.
Right.
You know, as far as, you know, me and black metal, I know. I'm not really a black metal fan. I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, see, you don't want to just get on there and talk shit. You're going to talk about something you
know
about.
Yeah, we don't
want to
phone
it
in. Yeah, we want to do it legit.
Sense, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a big honor to me because CEK recently just got all my Gormonger shit.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome.
And
yes.
I was like, I don't know if he's going to really like this shit.
But, I love it.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate
it. Did everybody in the building move out when you started playing that shit?
Well, usually if I'm like on my day off, I'll jam the stuff so there's nobody home anyway. So I'm by myself in the house. So, you know.
That's
I'm waiting for that new Gormonger. I'm pumped for it, dude.
Yeah, okay. Man, it'll be out here in a couple weeks. We'll make sure you get this.
Yeah, the artwork looks really good, dude.
Yeah, man.
Really looks good.
Yeah, I'll give a quick shout-out because we're in the metal segment. But Mike Millar from DeKalb, he's the guy that did the cover art for my horror flicks, too. And he's done stuff for Blunt. You know, Blunt.
Yeah,
Chris.
Blunt's fucking badass.
Sick Tired, who's also one of Gonzo's bands. But bigger bands, he did Bong Ripper, which is a doom band. But he
Bong
did,
Ripper.
Yeah, he did their fucking cover art and shit for their.
Nice.
Those guys are killer.
Yeah, yeah. He did. I can't remember the name of the album, but he did one of their layouts for their album art and shit.
Nice.
And the cover.
From DeKalb, huh?
Yeah, from DeKalb.
Nice. So. Maybe we'll get him on the show sometime if he's
down
with that.
He's a really, really good, and he's a good musician, too.
Oh, wow. Yep. Very cool. Very cool.
Well, I didn't know me and Joey also. Joey likes a band, kind of obscure band that I love.
Who's that?
Cinderella.
How'd you know?
Well, he's wearing a fucking, what was that? I fucked it up.
Yeah.
He's wearing a Cinderella shirt. Yeah, Night Songs, or what the fuck was that called?
Oh, shit, are you really?
No.
He's got a Ted Bundy
shirt.
I'm
not saying that I wouldn't wear that.
But
though.
You're wearing a Pharaoh shirt, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, CK.
Pharaoh Rock. No, but a band called Oz Rocket eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Next time he's on, I'll have to do a segment on some Laz Rocket.
We had talked about it.
No, it was cool because you guys did your top five thrash, you know.
Right.
And when it comes to thrash, like, my big four is a little bit different because it's like Exodus, Testament, Laz Rocket, and Rigor Mortis.
Nice.
Or possibly Slayer, you know.
Right.
That's my big right there. So whenever you guys were talking about that, I was like, man, Laz Rocket, bring it up.
They were kind of an obscure band. I mean, they were around, but they weren't that well known.
No.
You know, compare them to like, you know, Exodus, Slayer, Testament. You know, obviously all those bands overshadowed Laz Rocket, but they're a killer band as well.
Yeah, for
loved
sure.
Them. But I was really pumped when you originally wanted me to do the segment. You know, every week, you know, no matter how much, if I have a shitty day or if I'm in pain or, you know, any shit I'm going through, every Tuesday I always look forward to fucking getting on the phone, getting on my Skype call, and fucking
do some shit. Like, that's
give,
fun.
Giving you guys some fucking metal knowledge.
That's great, yeah. Dude. And I know you talked about being in pain and stuff, and I know we've talked about it before, but since it's the 1 year anniversary, it definitely does bear repeating that, you know, people may not know, but you've been battling cancer for years, colon cancer. You've been through fucking hell and back. And, you know, we originally kind of reconnected through that because I had been through chemo myself. And you were just getting ready to start it, and we started to talk every week on the phone, and when we talked about doing
it's
this
nice
podcast,
to have somebody have your back on you going through some shit like that. Dude.
And
yeah.
So we kind of reignited that friendship, you know, from way back when we went to high school, and so now we're doing the podcast, and so you know you've needed a kind of a distraction from all this bullshit you've had to deal with, so this has been kind of a cool therapeutic sort of thing for you,
definitely,
which is awesome.
I love doing it, and I know I look forward to every fucking Tuesday to doing it.
Fuck yeah.
No matter what subject we decide to do, it's always a fun time. It's always fun when all of us are on together. It's always a good time.
Yeah, and tonight, you know, we've got of course CCK here with us in studio, and we explained to Crazy Mike why we had him, you know, made so that you were here with us
always
when we do
with
the show. So you're here with us. So it's cool. And now you've got the fucking Grim Reaper fucking tool over there.
As far as Hartville, Illinois this weekend, Cashman had a good idea. I'm not going to tell you what
it's
it is.
It's a surprise.
If it works out,
you're going to
be
for
so
you.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
Cashman came up with a fucking brain.
Great fucking idea, man.
Really good.
If there's a fucking Boston hat on my head, I'm going to fucking
freak.
No.
Did you show him that picture?
I did. I promised it didn't touch the CCK.
Yeah.
So.
He never told me if he showed you that or not. I was curious.
So this has really grown from the episode 5. Now we're doing episode 51 and the 1 year. It's just fucking nuts, man. It's would have never thought it would have got to this point.
No, I don't think any of us probably thought we'd get to this point. I mean, and it keeps growing and growing. I mean, how many listens we had last week? It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the total episode listens, the last stats I got, which was last night, said that we got 2,910 listens to all our episodes in a week. So people are listening to random ones, but of course the newest one always gets the most, but people are going back and listening to back episodes, so... That's a lot. That's almost triple what it was like a month ago. So
I know. So obviously it's growing, and we're kicking some ass, and people are digging it. So that's all good.
Yeah. Buzzsprout said we're going to start getting ranked too. We're getting enough listens now. We're going to start getting ranked.
It's pretty
with the
ranked
other
when
podcasts.
My brother farts.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just awesome to see it grow like this, and the new studio is awesome because. Very inspiring, and we got cool pictures to show for it.
I like
it.
A spider coming down right there, too. It's pretty nice.
Sure, and I don't think there's any way you would have predicted you would have a studio to do a podcast, and I think that was the farthest thing from your mind at that time.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were just trying to figure out how to do this thing, you know what I mean? And there's no, like, book on it. You know, I did some research, but really... Just from listening to them, and we just kind of thought, how do we want
to
do this?
Talk to
different?
A couple people here and there.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
what would your idea be?
But, yeah, and we just kind of gathered it and just went for it, you know. And so, doing the Skype thing with you has been a challenge sometimes with
fucking the metal
bad connections, you know.
Metal with CK is like one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I may not necessarily like the band, but I like knowing the knowledge and the history.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Where the band came from, where they started their roots and all that shit. I like that a lot.
Yeah, for
Whether
sure.
Whether I like the band or not makes no difference to me.
Yeah, and Crazy Mike, you know, of course, Low 12 has been done now going on 3 years, which is crazy. Yeah. But, you know, it would have been cool if we would have been around while this technology was happening. Because Low 12, you know, we were doing stuff, you know, back in the day, but... This would have been a perfect forum for us to get the word out and stuff. And it's cool how things, as much as I sometimes bitch about things changing and not being the way they were, there are things that are good about it, like this. You get the word out in a big way. Just a few dudes sitting in a garage turned into a studio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just talking and I'm talking to people slapping. In fucking Serbia. And he's fucking with the BTK bobblehead.
Yeah, I got
over
fucking
there.
Dennis Rader right here slapping him in his fucking forehead.
I mean, you got to think of it too. You know, how many bands, like just local bands, have you got turned people on to?
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah, the Event of Collapse and Chalk in here last week, and Event of Collapse video went out. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not.
So yeah, it came out really awesome.
Oh, cool.
Really good.
Cool.
Sounds great.
Yeah, for what it is, I mean, it sounded pretty decent.
Yeah, we're not hooked up to a soundboard or anything.
No, it's just a handheld recorder.
A handheld linear recorder. It came out really good.
Yeah, I really like the way that thing records, and I synced it up with the video, and I think it turned out pretty good. We did the same thing with Joey when he did Gormonger. First band to play in here, and then those two guys, and we'll have more. I even mentioned it to Eric from Indestructible Noise Command about maybe if they come on tour and they come through this way to stop
just
in
stop
and maybe
can you guys
fucking
just throw
jam out
song
and be cool as
fuck.
That'd be so
that would
fucking
be
ridiculous.
Sick, man. That would be crazy.
So fucking ridiculous.
That'd be good.
I mean,
so.
just tell you know, I go back and I talk about some of these bands from years ago, and now I'm stuck listening to them all over again.
Right.
Like INC, I've been jamming INC for like the last fucking month.
I know you have. Fucking Razorback.
Razorback, The Visitor, the new album, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool stuff, like you said, to go back, listen to a band you might have forgot about, you know, or, wow, they're back together again? Holy shit. You know?
Right.
I seen your playlist today. You had some fucking pretty killer shit going on your playlist.
Yeah. That very eclectic.
Limp Bizkit was in there? Is that what
you said? Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, fucking Limp Bizkit, Disturbed.
Linkin Park.
Mudvayne.
Linkin Park.
What's the other douchebag band?
the other douchebag band.
It's a whole bunch of them, man. I should do my anti-playlist, maybe. That would be funny. The shit I fucking hate. Get a bunch of people fucking mad. When I say hate Kiss, they go fucking nuts, yeah.
It was my new metal fucking playlist. No, I was listening to good shit today. I had some INC, Watchtower.
Right.
A great doom band called Brimstone Coven.
I seen that. I've never heard them before. I've honestly never even heard of them before until I've seen your playlist.
The whole doom thing, that's a subgenre unto itself. There's so many fucking bands and so many subgenres within that subgenre of doom.
Yeah, it gets crazy.
It gets crazy. There's a lot of good shit. And the funny thing is, I'm not really a fan of female vocalists other than, you know, Arch Enemy. But there's a couple of bands from in that genre with female vocalists that I dig a lot for some reason.
Right.
But, you know, eventually that could be a segment unto itself. And
we can definitely do female vocal bands.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because there's a couple that I really like.
Yeah, that one we just played, that band that had the Chessboard Killer song.
The Russian
band. The Russian band. Yeah. They're not that bad, actually. The new album's pretty good. Yeah, I'm really surprised.
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, what was their name? I can't remember now. But they weren't bad, a female-fronted band, and they're good. I dig it.
I definitely think we should do that because there's a couple
bands. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple decent ones. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of them, but...
Right, me either.
For some reason, no, I dig
Arch Enemy. Fucking sexist pig!
Well, I like sex.
Don't we all?
No, but I got some cool ideas for some future episodes.
That's
actually
awesome.
Shawbeck, you gave me an idea for one.
Nice.
One about gays? Gay metal?
No, that's farther down the line.
Oh, okay.
That's what she said.
No, but when we're talking about Metal Church, you mistakenly said that there was no original you thought I said there was no original members in the band.
Yeah.
Well, I came up with four bands with no original members that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Yeah. All right. Bands with no original members left.
You just took a name of a band is what you did. Right. I'm about that. That's a good one, dude. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, that's a good one, right.
And it's, I mean, there's five, but one band I can really give a shit about, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Right. No, I cannot wait for that.
I probably piss people off because I know people really dig one of those bands, I can't fucking stand them. Yeah. So weird. I won't mention them.
I got a whole list of shit like that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people might not realize it, but you know, we get you the list of the upcoming feature serial killers or, you know, whatever we're doing in murder. And then sometimes we tie it in with your segments. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we're able to, sometimes we don't.
Right.
Like next week, where it's going to actually work out because my segment may be a little bit longer than normal.
Right. And we're doing the Beeson murders, which is a local story, and there isn't
not
a lot
to it.
Yeah, so that'll work out great because you're doing. Yeah. What are you doing? You said
we're gonna do Maiden.
Fuck yeah, dude!
Maiden.
That should be cool, man.
Just to show you how many bands we've talked about. It's going over a year, and we're just talking about Maiden now.
Right, that's true. What were you gonna say, Joey?
CK, are you gonna do that one in segments like you did the Sabbath?
No, this one we're going to do all in one shot.
Nice.
Because I think I could do it justice. It's going to be a little bit longer than usual, but
fine.
I think I could do justice in one shot. Sabbath was just
too fucking much. Yeah.
Right.
It was just too fucking much to do in one segment. And the only way I could do it was in three. And by doing that, I was able to take care of the Dio stuff and the Dio years plus the Dio Solo stuff, Ozzy solo stuff. So that kind of worked out.
No, right. Yeah, I really liked how you did that one. So
yeah, for sure. But
you know, and that just shows you. I think Sabbath was the only major, really huge band that we've done. You know, I mean, the other bands have been kind of obscure,
right?
You know, some obscure, some known but not well known.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole idea. I mean, it's just to have fun, and I hope people dig it.
Yeah, well, that's cool, man. I know we enjoy it. Like Chris said, you're, you know, just as much a part of the show as we are, and you've been awesome to be able to get you involved, and I know you got a lot on your plate with your health issues, and so it's cool to give you something to keep you inspired to preach your fucking metal knowledge and hopefully, you know, like we said, turn some people on to some shit. And
turn them on to some new motherfucking metal, boy.
That's right.
Fuck so, yeah.
That's awesome. Was there anything else about this past year you wanted to add, CK?
Just so you know, I'm having a fucking awesome time doing it, and it's fucking awesome being on with you guys, so you know.
Awesome.
It's all good shit.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Well, we definitely get a lot of positive listener comments about you, and it's awesome, and we'll keep doing it, and we're doing our 1 year, but you know, we hope they'll be doing this for many more years to come, and doing it this way. Who knows, in a year, this technology is probably going to be antique, and we'll be doing it by some... We'll be able to transport you here for the night, transport you back or some shit, I don't know.
Do a fucking hologram.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a good idea.
Like that Dio bullshit.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
A fucking scam for fucking money. Dio should be fucking embarrassed.
Yeah, that's awful. That's awful.
You got any kind of
national
news going on? Anything coming out? Any tours? Anything?
Nothing really. The only thing is the Ozzy tour was postponed.
I seen that. He got fucking fell and fucked himself up. Huh?
Fell.
The dude's fucking 150 years old. He's gonna fall and get hurt.
Yeah, he really needs to fucking stop.
Yeah, he really does.
Man. That's ridiculous.
Nothing against his music,
and he rescheduled for 2020 with Priest.
God damn, dude.
That's nuts, man. Now, Joey, you know, go ahead, Chris.
That's just fucking crazy. I love Ozzy, but you know, maybe it's just time. You know, hey, you know,
right.
To actually just retire.
Just retire for real this time.
Yeah, it may be just time to pack it in, man. What do you think, Crazy Mike?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the guy from Pink Floyd should hang it up, too.
Just, Mike, think of all the titty shots If you were hanging with Ozzy, think of all the titty shots you could have got.
Oh, ton.
Jesus Christ, man. Because that was your jam, and you were just doing it for low 12. But imagine if you were doing it for Ozzy, man. It'd be fucking insane, man.
Titties galore.
He's all fucking glowing over there and shit. Now, Joey, you got a big show coming up this weekend. When this episode posts,
it'll be this Saturday. It's just this Saturday. Post, yeah.
So. Right. So what's up with this, man?
Well, you guys have been talking about it, which is awesome. So the Saturday after this cast comes out,
April 13th
is Heart of Illinois Fest 5. That's my show. My party every year I have one, and this is it. And I'm going to have 15 bands. It's BYOB, all ages. It's only $5 to get in. For 15 bands.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
dude.
I got some really good bands coming out too. I won't remember all of them.
Dude,
right
I can't
now,
wait to see Horde Demise.
Yeah.
I really can't. And fucking Severed Head Shop.
Yeah,
I can't
Horde Demise.
Severed Head Shop is fucking badass.
Yeah,
man.
I can't wait to see.
Horde Demise is from Texas, and I know you guys played a fucking clip of theirs, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, last week, I think, or the week before. I've been trying to play one every week.
Yeah.
So.
And the drummer from that band, I was actually in a band with him when I lived in Texas, so that's how I know him so well. And this would be the first time I've hung out with him for a long time.
Nice. Aborting, I've never seen them before.
Aborting
I'm really
from Georgia,
to check them out.
Which they love the podcast.
It's just great, man.
Yep, so that'd be cool. Bill Nye, Necro Cannibal, Menstrual Munchies, all the regular guys are going
right.
to be. But actually, like Necro Cannibal and Menstrual Munchies, this is the first time they played my show, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. last year was during Bloodshed.
Yeah,
is when they was out
right.
of Griggs. Yeah,
and then of course I got Chalk and Blood Feud, Zabalba 33, which is Treachery.
Yeah, Zabalba.
Treachery Untold. So yeah. The local, you know, acts playing.
That brings cool. the people in from around town.
Severed Head
too.
Shop,
yeah.
like you were saying, they were from Indiana, and I played with them when I played with a Maggot Twat in Chicago.
Right, we played with them too.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah,
so
that was
good.
Awesome.
I tried to get them down, but it was I asked a little bit too late. But I'm gonna try to talk to them again. But anyway,
cool. Those guys are fucking cool, man.
And then a huge shout out for Heart of Illinois 5 to my two headliners. The first of which is Crotch Ripper, which is our boys from here.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude.
Those dudes have played all 5 of my shows, as has Aborning. And those dudes deserve the headlining slot because they fucking bring the party every time they play.
Oh, yeah.
They are so fucking good.
Yeah.
So they got the headlining slot. That's one of them, Quad Cities, Troll Grind. And then the second one
Alex
is my homie.
Alex and Eric killing it, dude.
Yeah,
Alex and Eric.
Alex and then the second headliner is Vituperate, who they're on New Standard Elite, and they're out of Virginia and North Carolina-ish, Tennessee-ish.
They just touch your voice.
My homeboy
metal.
Justin, though, like you met Justin, and he's the bassist, and they are a pretty powerhouse band. It's almost a super group of sorts because each member's been in a lot of good bands. So anyway,
that's cool.
So that's my two headliners. It's
awesome,
only $5
dude.
Bucks. Colfax, Illinois.
Yeah,
come
we've
on
been
out.
Posting it on our Facebook. You can search on Facebook for Heart of Illinois, Field of Screams. Of course, Murder Metal Mayhem's going to be there.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking some shit, huh, Chris?
Yeah, we're going to get up there and talk some shit. Joey.
Yeah, they're going to have a little bit of live action.
We got little 15-minute segments between some of the bands. We got 4 segments.
Yeah,
so
we're going to kind of split the podcast
little
up
killer
a little
cage
bit.
Match yeah. going down. And,
talk about some murder,
some mayhem.
Shit, some mayhem.
Yeah.
No karaoke.
No karaoke. We talked about it, but technically it'll be a little difficult to pull off as the alcohol starts a flowing. So.
I won't be able to do it.
No, that's going to be a good time. And the weather's supposed to cooperate, like 55 and cloudy, but no rain.
No rain, that's the only thing I cared about.
Big time, because it's outside.
Yeah,
so.
We had to do it outside this year, but that's cool, though. It's
with perfect. The bloodshed in the countryside out in Colfax, a great spot. Should be a good time and
so,
a lot of
anybody
friends.
Anybody listening, get your ass over here to Colfax, Illinois, April 13th. Show starts at 2.
That's right. Yeah, it's an early show, but it goes until like fucking 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
so it's
all about a 12-hour show.
Day and fucking night. $5.
Yeah.
And like we always say, Chris, just like a sore dick.
Can't beat it, man.
So, well, definitely thanks, CK, for calling in, and thanks for an awesome fucking year.
Fuck and, yeah, dude. No, thank you, brother.
Keep fucking cranking this shit the fuck out, dude. So get back on that train and get yourself back to Danbury to Wild Man Street and piss off some neighbors with some Gormonger, man. Crank it up.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thanks right, for brother. Calling, man. We'll see you soon.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Fucking Sacred Reich, Crimes Against Humanity.
Dude, so. I love fucking Sacred Reich, dude.
Yeah, so well, that's why last week you mentioned Sacred Reich, so I played Grindzilla, Sacred Reich for you.
Hell
so
yeah.
It wasn't the album you mentioned, but I just thought it would be cool to jam some Sacred Reich. Oh,
Sacred Reich's so fucking awesome, dude.
Fuck yeah, we are doing some mayhemming. We got two friends in here with us that have been in here with us all night, Joey Cashman, Crazy Mike. And so this should get fun because we always love talking some mayhem. And when we have friends in here with us getting silly, that's
like
when...
get a little story if we can.
It gets pretty crazy. So we've got some good ones here. I know I had one that I wanted to share that I thought would be funny. It was one that I had happen to me in high school with a guy that I went to school with, Chris Frank.
Are you using real name?
I'm using his real name because nobody knows where this motherfucker is. Yeah. He's like MIA, which is no surprise. And I'm not telling anything that's bad, you know. Like,
so if
it's
he
a funny story.
To hear it, hopefully he gets a hold of you to be
yeah,
like, hey,
Chris,
there you
get
are.
A hold of me. Dude.
All right, exactly.
So anyway, this guy.
He's going to be in Serbia listening to the podcast.
Yeah, he's the one guy in Cyprus. He self-nicknamed himself Charisma. So he was just fucking constantly...
First of all, you can't self-nickname yourself.
I know, but he was so fucking cocky and pompous. That's
and
the thing.
Second, your name's Charisma?
Yeah, because he's just was saying he could get out of anything. Like, he could do some stupid shit, and he did a lot of it. And he always got out of it. Everybody else would get in trouble. He would fucking get out of it. I mean, he was just that way. Walk between the fucking raindrops, okay?
He should be hanging out with G Boogie. What's his name?
G Bunny.
G Bunny, yeah.
G Boogie. So he lived in this house with these woods behind that was like common woods between these different houses. Anyway, he had parties back there in the woods, high school parties, you know how that is. Just hanging out, drinking, taking a little bit from this bottle, a little bit from that bottle, making some nasty fucking concoction. So that was the shit we were doing. And we all parked along this road and walked up into the woods. So anyway, we're in there one night.
Hey, man, you know that's where Lucas took some chicks was to the woods, right?
That's right. So did Bundy.
God damn it. What were you doing?
I don't know of anybody dying up here, but we were partying pretty fucking heavily. And Chris was there. You know, we're all there hanging out. Chris Frank. And so somebody comes running up there and screams, cops! So everybody's like, fuck! You know, and just runs in fucking 50 directions, you know? So everybody stupidly winds up out on the street where the cars are, where the fucking cops are. So the cops are like, all right, get over here, you know? And back in the day, right, Crazy Mike, just make you dump the shit out and fucking get out of here.
Yeah,
you know,
like go home, get
back
the
in the day shit.
Here, yeah.
Nowadays, yeah, it's anything but that, I'm sure. Yeah. So anyway, so they're questioning everybody and they're like, whose property? Who lives here? And nobody's saying anything, you know, like almost like the Ken McElroy thing.
Right?
Well, there was this one little fucking pussy, okay, who I'm not going to say his name, but he... The cop went up to him after going through all these people standing in a line.
He's like, no,
I don't know.
No.
Don't know who lives here. I have no idea.
Straight up knock you guys out.
He goes, his name is Chris Frank, F-R-A-N-K.
Get the fuck out.
And he lives right there, and he points to his house.
Wow.
And we're all like, what a fucking douchebag, you know? Totally.
Like everybody else at the party already said, I don't know. We're fucking,
right. He was the last one they asked. All he would have had to say was, I don't know. And the cop would have fucking left.
That's fucking stupid.
So he busts him out. Chris Frank, F-R-A-N-K. And he lives right there. And so the cops knew who it was. So anyway, while this is all going on, Chris is fucking running. He's just fucking running through the woods because he knew where the cops would be. Again, he lived there.
Right, right.
So while we were all disoriented,
and he's charisma.
He can he's charisma. He escapes Houdini style.
God damn it.
And he's just running through the fucking woods. And he's like, fuck, you know. He knows, like, probably somebody's going to bust him out, you know. So he's just running. And he's telling the story. It's funny. And he's just kept running and running, and like I'm like, where the fuck did these end, you know? So he's running, he said, for like quite a while. He comes out and he hears like all this noise, and he's like, what is that? He comes, like, slows down, and he looks, and he's looking into somebody's backyard who's having a fucking party.
Get the fuck
so
out of
so there's like
here,
all these fucking people in the backyard. He's like, perfect, you know?
Yeah.
This is gonna have Crash's party. I've been here all night.
So he goes into this fucking, you know, party, and he's just like fucking mingling and fucking hanging out. And he's like, fuck yeah, I got away, you know. So he goes into the house and he hears somebody screams in the front of the house, cops. The cops knew of this other party, so they went to see if he was there. So the cops make everybody from the backyard come out to the front yard, and they're asking, have you seen Chris Frank? You know, have you seen him?
Are you
fucking nobody knows that he's
serious?
Even there, because there were so few people that saw him when he got
Tell
there.
Tell me he just hung back and just escaped out the back.
He ran into the basement, and he waited until the cops got everybody in the front, and he climbed out the basement window and ran out the back and got away and never got in trouble.
Oh my God.
That Monday in school, we're like, okay, this motherfucker's going to go down because little fucking pussy boy fucking dimed him out.
Holy shit, dude.
And so we're just waiting for the cops to show up at school or something, you know, to take him.
Right, right. You're going to go to jail, dude.
Never was questioned, never showed up. And couldn't fucking believe it. Yeah.
That's fucking
so
awesome.
That fucking dude, I don't know how the fuck he did it, but he always.
Charisma.
Charisma. Charisma, so. So there's my mayhem story. Dude. Crazy Mike, I know that you spent
you
some time
at a nudie fucking
down in Florida, right?
Yeah.
And what's the deal? This has been a few days ago. I mean, I know.
You're the oddest tool.
Well, you were down there visiting your sister,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was down there.
You don't have
there,
to say her name, but she lives down there. And so you were down there. And what were you up to?
Well, I saw a story on the in the news about an alligator eating some guy, you know, at a nudist resort, you know? So I thought,
okay. Nudist resort.
That's kind of weird, you know? And I said, I might as well just go check that out, you know, and see if I can get in there, you know? Well, I went up to the front gate, and the lady said, this isn't just for single guys, you know, you have to have your wife with you or something. I said, oh, I left her back at the condo on the beach there.
We can't just have crazy perverts by themselves.
Right, you had to bring a female in there.
So there
goes your plan,
it's
Joey.
Done.
And so the lady says, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to let you in because you're just a single guy. You don't have anybody, you know, like your wife or your kids or anything.
wait, did they really say kids?
Were there kids there?
Yeah.
I was going to say, most nudist beaches are family
friendly. Yeah. That's so fucking weird, dude.
But at first, that when you first weird. Hear that and you're in this studio, you're like, wait a minute.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it was. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to let you come on in, you know? And I said, oh, okay. Thanks a lot.
What
know?
If I go grab a random kid?
Check out what he did. Check out what he did.
No way.
So I just went down the street. I mean, it was kind of a ways. I don't know if I walked a half a mile or a mile, you know, but there was a car wash, and I pulled into the car wash, and park my car there, you know? And I knew they had a fence up there at the place. But I thought, you know, this fence has got to end somewhere, you know? So
wasn't it like a construction entrance or something?
No, this is a different one.
Oh, I'll a different one, okay.
I'll tell you,
you're like, I'm getting on this goddamn beach.
So I went in the woods there, you know, and I walked through the back to where the fence stopped, and I just walked around the fence, and I just slapped down my shorts, how I had, like, you know, a pair of shorts on and no top or anything, you know. And so I wanted to, you know, fit right in, you know. So I just, you know, popped down my shorts and just started walking around, you know, and I thought, I think I might want to go check out, you know, where the guy, you know, got ate by the alligator pond, you know. So I was just walking down the street, and I see people, like, there's a guy working on his car, and he was all naked, you know.
Probably not a good idea.
Right.
I mean,
what?
Yeah. Jesus. So, Jesus. Burn your fucking scrotum or something.
I'm gonna fucking use this wrench right here to loosen these motherfuckers. I got a lot of torque in there.
And I finally go down to the pool area there, and I'm hanging out there, and watching for people to come up and stuff, you know, and different things like that. And all of a sudden, this one lady came up, started talking to me. She said,
"Hey,
were
nice
you from
dick?
Mike?" And, or, you know, I told her my name. You know, I said, "Hey, my name is Mike." And she said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Bloomington, Illinois." She said, "We're from Hayworth, Illinois."
Get the fuck out of here. Fucking serious?
And she said, like, when you hit the gate, you know, when you came in, that's my sister. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, I was thinking to myself, I was like, she's the one that told me I couldn't come in here, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, that's cool. And she said, how about if I go and get her and we'll talk about Bloomington Normal and Hayworth and stuff, you know? And I was like,
no.
Okay. I said, if you got, you know, if you know, I'd rather not, but you know, she said, no, I'll just go get my sister. You know, she'll love seeing you here or something. And I was like, no, I was thinking to myself, no, she's not going to like seeing me here, you know. So she took off, you know, and I thought, I better go ahead and take off myself. And so I did the same thing on the way out. You know, I went the same way as I came in, you know.
Nice.
That's how that one went. But the other one went was
this is a good one.
This is just down the road from there, you know.
hanging out.
It's like, just hitting the circuit, man.
What I did is I looked
hitting
up
the circuit,
you know, and they said there was another one down the road. And they told me they might let single guys in. So I went and checked it out. They wouldn't let single guys in either, darn it. And so
darn it.
They're like, they keep sending these guys over here saying they can't.
Right.
So I this time I just parked real close. There was like a bowling alley or something right by there. So I got out. And,
now a nude bowling alley. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Man. And there's these guys working on the place, you know, at the time. And they had some hard hats sitting over there, you know. So I, you know, just had a pair of shorts on still, you know. And I put the hard hat on and I was acting like I was doing something, you know. I was walking around. All of a sudden I asked them, one other guy said, "Hey, where's the bathroom here? I need to use the restroom." And then they said, it's over here in the nude section over here. And I said, okay.
Bingo.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. And so walked over there and I took off my helmet. That was the last I seen of that helmet, boy. I went in inside there and I took off my shorts like I did the other time, you know. And this time, I didn't have no problems at all, really, you know. Nobody, came up and said anything, you know, or anything to me. And I just hung out all day long.
I bet you did. I mean, literally, you were hanging out all day long.
It was a nice, really nice place, too. You know, they had a place.
No cum stains all over the place.
There was a nice view.
I like this part about it. They had this thing they called a conversation pool, and it was like a kind of just a warm water pool, you know, where you just
I bet it's more like Jello, dude.
Imagine how much fucking jizz is floating in that fucking thing.
Damn, dude.
Oh, I seen a guy one time. You know what? After that. Not too long after that, I decided to go ahead and become a member because...
yeah, he had the card and everything. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Ended up
if you're a member, you get in single?
Free, yeah. Like, I paid
single
money.
Single and free, baby.
What it was kind of like was you could work out there, you know, like they had a workout room and I played in a tennis tournament naked, you know, and... they had all kinds of stuff going on there, you know, and they had two different pools and stuff.
Why did you ever move from there?
Yeah. That's where I want to end up.
You
should have moved on. Yeah,
that's where I want to end up.
Oh, I love Florida, you know, and I really want to, if there's any way that somebody would, you know, be willing to let me stay there. You know,
anybody out in Florida.
Dude, you can tell these stories, man. That's entertainment enough, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I mean, you're crazy, Mike. You're fucking world famous.
Yeah, I like, telling things that make people laugh. So that was.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I knew these guys would get a kick out of hearing those nude beach stories, man. Now, Joey, did you say you had a shorter story you wanted to tell?
I had a story. Chris kind of brought it up earlier as he brought the Ginder. So my story is about the time that I desecrated a grave.
Oh, nice.
Grave desecration.
I'm
going to
say one of the times.
Yeah, I was going to say
as a kid, you know, we were dumb in the graveyard. But anyway. Right. So
this is a cool one.
Yeah, this one's cool. More recently, so also ties in with Heart of Illinois Fest, a Born In.
Yeah.
So the second, I want to say it was the second.
Yeah, it was the second one.
Or the I don't remember. No, it was the second one. Yeah,
it was the one that I fucking picked up your apartment.
So
I'm
on tour with the Born In, and we play a show up in the Quad Cities where Crotch Ripper's from. And the next show that we're playing is in Milwaukee. So we leave the Quad Cities the next morning. We got some time, you know, between there and Milwaukee. And I'm like, man, let's go to Plainfield. See, you know, where Ed Gein.
Fuck yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
And they were like, cool, let's do that, you know. So we did. We go there. We went to the property, which
because the house is gone. There's nothing there anymore.
But the ominous feeling was
was
incredibly huge, and it was like it was daytime. But it was snow on the ground, and you know we're tromping along these grounds, and you're just thinking about you know, the shit that went on there. So we leave there, and then we go to Plainfield Cemetery. Now this town's only like 200 people, so it's tiny,
right?
Like, super tiny. So. You're feeling weird being out there anyway, because you know that anybody that's out there, farmers or anything, they know
what happened.
Right,
and if they
right.
see strangers coming
well, that's
around,
why
they
let the house burn
there.
Down, so people wouldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we went anyway, and then we went to the graveyard, and we saw, you know, the gravestones of his brother, his mother, father, and then his is there, but there's no headstone.
Right.
But we were there, and like I said, there was snow on the ground, so... We could see footprints of other people that had been out there, you know. And where Gein's grave was, there's a hole dug out. Like, not very big, maybe like, you know, softball size. Pretty small. We're like, man, what is that? It's creepy shit, you know.
Right.
And then it's like, holy shit, somebody dug the gravedigger's grave.
Oh,
and I was like, holy shit, I'm going to dig the gravedigger's grave. And so I went, and Josh did too from a morning, went and grabbed some fucking sandwich baggies, Ziploc bags, and fucking dug a couple handfuls of Gein grave dirt.
Nice.
And I brought that back, and that was like 2016, so it's been like 3 years.
And it's in that fucking vial, and it's still fucking wet.
And it's still damp. Gein dirt.
No, it's
don't
still
dry.
Fucking wet.
Wow.
And then real quick, just to finish this story. So also I said we were going from, you know, to Milwaukee after that. So we're like, okay, we still had time. So we went to our games. We're like, hey, let's go see where Dahmer's apartment was. And show
dude, that shit was fun with me and you did that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I brought the morning boys up there and we went and checked that out too. Now, this is what's fucking crazy though. So we're in Plainfield, which there's nothing in Plainfield. It's super tiny, like a mile and a half each direction, right? So we go to the one gas station that's there. We fill up our tank, and we hit the GPS, and we put in, 25th. I can't remember exactly the address for the apartment where Jeffrey Dahmer was at.
Right.
And this is no bullshit. It pops up the route, and it says estimated time, 2 hours, 13 minutes.
Nice.
Dude, we got the GoPro out. We're like, fucking build this shit.
Me that. Oh, that's so fucking awesome. So from fucking
yeah, Gaines to Dahmer's was 2:13.
That's
like,
nuts,
done.
Dude.
So yeah, that was a...
That's pretty fucking awesome. And for anybody that doesn't have the serial killer acumen that we may have, that's the apartment number, of course, of Dahmer.
Of Dahmer and other things too.
Dahmer's.
Yeah, and I remember I did a house inspection one time for a demo, and the house was 213, and I put it on Tim's back door.
Nice.
And so people driving would be like, they're in like the 800 block, and they see 213. And it's like an even numbered, odd number. You're like, what the fuck? How could that be 213? He said he'd have people knocking on his door all the time, like, what the fuck is this?
That's awesome.
No, it's not 213. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So that's a good one. I like that story. That's fucking cool.
How you guys feel about a little killer cage match?
Dude, I think it's time because we got a special one in store here. So what we did, we thought would be fun this time, is a tag team match.
Wow.
And we had some listeners, Chris. What do the listeners do for us there? They fucking let us know some random fucking numbers.
Yes, they did. And our fucking awesome ass listeners, Mike Dowdry, fucking my brother, Michael Shawback, my brother. Thanks, right. Michael. I love you, bro. Eric McIntosh, Derek Robbins, Josh Kunkel, and Cody Ferguson.
Do you know who Eric is?
Yeah.
He's the guitarist for
Murder Complex. Yeah. Hell yeah, killing it, Murder Complex.
Yeah, we had a bunch of local guys here this time.
Yeah, I appreciate
I'm stoked
you guys.
To see the fucking HOI with him playing with them.
Yeah, definitely. And so they picked the random numbers. Yeah, we got a list, 1 to 60 killers, 1 to 60 objects.
And so basically we just have random listeners pick a number between 1 and 2 numbers between 1 and 60. But you explain this one, because this is a tag team. This is a twist on me, too.
Yeah, so we had to get more numbers, because we got four killers, two pairs of killers.
God damn.
So we got the first team, Charles Eng and Richard Speck, which is going to be crazy. And then your boy, Tommy Karate. Albert Fish. Very strange combination, because Tommy Karate's a badass, and Fish is this little old dude that ate little kids. So that should be fun. Now, I got a question. Is this Richard Speck like killing nurses, or is this Richard Speck like
titties in jail? This is Richard Speck in prison and titties in jail doing cocaine.
Okay, and sucking cock. All right, I'm just clarifying.
The videos of him, dude. I'm
God.
What in the fuck?
I know. I got a book on him, but it's not about that. It's about the kill, the murders.
Oh,
but
no.
I'm anxious to read
horny,
it, though.
He made me horny, man.
Hell yeah.
So that's who's fighting, and then we pick a couple of objects. Joey, what's the what are the objects this time that they're going to be fighting with?
The objects that they have are a brass butt plug.
Very specific.
Very specific. Brass. A brass butt plug, and, of course, the classic shake weight.
Right. I was going to buy Meister a shake weight one time for Christmas. But I just couldn't bear the thought of spending like $30 for something he was going to throw in the garbage.
Right.
So.
Dude, that's what I was saying to Joey earlier. Dude, fucking there's that episode of South Park where they got the shape weight that talks to you and gives you cab fare when you get done with it. Like all the females are using it and it just squirts water. Dude, it's so ridiculous.
Now, we came up with the variable a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Which is usually an animal, but this time we threw a non-animal in the mix. Oh. We've got 15 now, okay? So, Crazy Mike, you're going to pick a number between 1 and 15, and that'll be the variable that goes in the cage with them.
Yeah,
so,
don't look at it.
So, pick a number between 1 and 15.
I have to go with number 12.
Number 12, bucking bronco.
Sure.
Okay? So... So we got...
All right, you think you can go 8 seconds? Are you Lane Frost?
So we got Charles Eng and Richard Speck versus Tommy Karate and Albert Fish. with a brass butt plug and a shake weight in his steel cage with a fucking bronking or bucking bronco in there with him.
Oh, fuck.
Chris, what the fuck, dude? What do we make of this, man?
You gotta, like, look at it.
I know. I'm like, Richard Speck and Charles Ng.
Because Charles Ng was into martial arts, too. So right, that's what him I'm, and Tommy see, Karate would thing. Be Tommy fucking wicked. Karate,
okay. I think I want to, as far as the bucking bronco, I think I'm going to say Albert Fish. He's probably got all those needles in his skin.
Oh, wow.
So he's got, like, long ones. He's going to pull them up and whip him and fucking kill the goddamn bronco like he's fucking in a goddamn bullfighting ring. And then, oh, man, I don't know.
I could see Charles Ng and Tommy Karate getting into some serious shit.
No, Tommy Karate.
But Richard Speck, dude, with those big old titties and stuff. I mean, he...
Well, Richard... With those. I think after Albert Fish fucking kills the fucking bull with his fucking needle,
is he gonna slice pieces of his ass off like Grace Budd?
No, him and Richard Speck are gonna go fuck.
Oh, okay.
And then Tommy Karate and Charles Ng are gonna have a ninja battle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like roundhouse kicking each other and shit.
Roundhouse kicking each other and everything, dude.
I think fucking Speck is gonna be in love with that brass butt plug. And the shake weight at the same time, man.
I'm going to go
so
with
So he's going to be busy.
I'm going with Tommy Karate because even if he dies, he's in the mafia. His boys are coming back for him.
Oh, there you go.
Redemption. What you got, Cashman?
Joey, what do you think, man?
I mean, in my mind, what I envision for this cage match, to be honest, is I feel like Charles Ng and Richard Speck are going to already be in tune with their love of videotaping debauchery.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So they're going to figure out how to get the brass butt plug up the Bucking Bronco's ass.
Oh, wow.
To the point where the Bucking Bronco starts fucking Tommy Karate.
Oh, damn.
And then Albert Fish is going to use the shake weight into his own groin to get himself hard. And then fuck Tommy Karate's mouth.
This is Circle Orgy.
And this whole time it's going to be videotaped by Charles and Richard Speck. Yep.
Wow, Crazy Mike. I mean, this is some fucking wild shit here. I told you. I don't even know what to make of it, but my money's on Tommy Karate because he's a badass. But I love that's a very intricate story, but with all those characters and the objects, and then, of course, our bucking bronco. That's pretty good stuff.
No, that's fucking good.
That's
shit,
fucking
man.
Awesome, man. So, fuck yeah, with the Killer Cage match. You know, we talk about this being the, you know, one-year anniversary show. And, of course, the Killer Cage match we came up with a while back. And I remember when I was talking to you about it, like, that first time we did it.
Right.
It was like, this is kind of out there. I thought this would be fun.
Let's fucking try it. And we got good feedback from the first one.
Yeah, we did. And we kind of, it's grown and it's up to 60 now. We try to keep putting more twists on it and the variable and we've done some with the metal bands fighting each other.
Dude, the fucking, the metal cage fights are fun too, dude.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, excuse me. Yeah, the metal cage fights are fun too, man. I mean, you got the different band members with the different instrumental equipment.
Yeah.
That's fun as fuck.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun doing these. We like doing them at live events too. We've done that a couple different times. Let the audience pick the numbers.
And we're going to be doing it fucking
HOI. Heart of Illinois. We'll be doing it this Saturday, so that'll be fun. Now, we also had your daughter, Kaya, in the studio. A few months ago, she read a poem that she wrote.
Yeah, she did read a good
poem. And it was very well written.
It's an awesome poem, man.
And it was really cool.
And I just want to say that, like, it's a new project for her. She got a hold of me and she got a hold of you.
Right.
She had to do a project for school on an author and she chose you. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I was very honored. That was really cool.
She's read your books and she thinks they're great.
That's cool.
That's awesome. But yeah, Kaya wrote a poem called The Girl With No Name.
Right. And we're going to play that for you guys. You can hear Kaya actually reading the poem as we tag out of our Mayhem segment. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it.
Fuck yeah.
The girl with no name wants to play a game where you conjure up demons and ghouls. The girl with no name wants to play a game, so listen close to the rules. Keep your hands on the planchette and try not to hide under the blanket. Stay inside the pentagram. She will speak through telegram. Don't cry when you see her fly. Don't scream if she's in your dreams, because all she wants is to play a game, that spooky girl with no name.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking Severed Head Shop. Gonna nice. Be a fucking HOY pie.
They are gonna be there. It's gonna fucking be badass from Indiana.
This Saturday.
Good stuff, man. Go get good it. Stuff. So fuck yeah, we've been having
and
a
I
good
hope
show.
You guys enjoyed that poem that my daughter did
yeah,
as well.
That yeah, that was really cool, yeah. Dude. Very creepy. Very creepy. Bumper music this time by Grindzilla, Sacred Reich, Nuclear Assault, and as we just played, Severed Head Shop. Big thanks to Crazy Mike and Joey Cashman for hanging out here for the anniversary podcast. So
yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
It
was
fun.
Fuck yeah. It's crazy, dude. Don't forget to get your ass to the Heart of Illinois Field of Screams outdoor show this coming Saturday, April 13th in Colfax, Illinois. As we said, we're going to be there. We're going to be doing some chit-chatting and just...
We got a little stage time.
Yeah, we're going to have a booth set up and it'll be a lot of great merch. So bring some extra cash. That's how the bands make gas money. So.
Yeah, not even just for our merch. Just fucking
help the bands bring the money to support the road bands for sure. I'm definitely going to buy some shit. I know that. And no rain in the forecast and 55 degrees. So it should be perfect for this type of thing.
It's going to be a good fucking day.
So thanks for all you guys listening out there. As we've said, you guys have made this last year a big success and we really do appreciate it. And we got some good comments, reading a few extra ones. Chris, what's the first one we got up there?
Well, Brenda B, she says, I love you guys. Congrats on awesome first year. I hope you guys keep doing what you do. It's fucking awesome. And
yeah.
We plan on striving on. So thank you for your love. Keep supporting it. Spread it. Let us know, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you got something you want us to talk about, if you got an idea, let us know.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, next week we're doing the Beeson murders because Justin Morris suggested
it.
So.
Give us an idea. If we find something that might be a little local to you.
Right.
That nobody knows about. Be like, check this shit out.
Yeah,
put
for
it
sure.
out there. Fuck yeah.
So, Joey, what's the next
what
one,
got,
dude?
Joe?
You guys got a comment from Tommy Too Sick.
Nice.
Tommy Too Sick.
He says, the Killer Cage matches are great. You guys should do an animated show and have them fight in a cage each episode.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's like fucking goddamn.
Hey, I'm going to tell Tommy Too Sick right now. Maybe one time I might have ate some mushrooms and listened to the Killer Cage match. And I felt like I did see an animated version.
That's fucking awesome. Hell yeah.
So you can try that if you want. But you know.
That's funny.
Hey, y'all, Crazy Mike, you got the next one, homie?
I sure do. It's from Budweiser said, of all the episodes you've done, the best one was
the Black Dahlia murder.
That case was
fascinating.
Fascinates me, yeah.
Now that shit was
fucked, that was a good episode, man. A chip cut in half on the side of the road. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, she's movie star shit. And I just brought the keychain in there that fucking
right.
my daughter's mom gave me
and
that's
shit. Right.
That thing's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. Chris, what's the next one, dude?
We got Sick and Twisted. Sick and Twisted! Oh, yeah, dude. He says, what song is the one you guys use for the intro? Well, sir, this is Pete's old band, Load 12, and that song is called Crawlspace. And that was the anthem of the fucking back in the day.
That was a good one, man. Old Load 12 on the first album.
About
Flesh
John
of the
Wayne
Week.
Gacy, dude. It's fucking such a good shit, dude.
Yeah, and when we first started doing this show, you had said, man, we should do Crawlspace as the intro. So
yeah, that was my suggestion. Was
We're
doing this shit. We're going to be talking about
and we didn't have to worry about getting permission since I wrote the fucking song.
Right.
So
you're not going to sue yourself, right?
Not about planning on it.
All right. Just wanted to check. Because there's lawyer fees. You might
That's right.
be fucked.
And Joey, what's the next one, dude?
Derek Sanders, he said, congrats on your first year. This is my favorite podcast, hands down.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. We skipped one, though. Crazy Mike, you want to read Donna's? That's all right. Donna?
Donna Perkey said, who is the little kid that says murder, metal, mayhem, each podcast?
Yes. Nice. That's my grandson. My grandson did that. Yeah, we recorded him. He was.
That was when we were still upstairs.
Yeah, we had the mic set up, and he was fascinated, and I was just having him say stuff, and he was getting a kick out of it. And I was sitting behind him, and I said, say murder. And he said, murder, and then, you know, metal, mayhem. And then I strung it together, so it was all one. And so it sounds like he said the whole thing. And I remember I played it for you, and you're like, dude, that's creepy as shit, you know?
Yeah.
I was like really? I said, I didn't think of it as creepy. It almost sounded cute, you know? And he's like, no, it's creepy.
No, it's fucking creepy.
So I'm like, all right, fuck it. So we just decided to use it. So, and we continue to use it.
And here we
are. It's a lot of fun. So awesome comments, man! Thanks to Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.
Psycho Killer Bobbleheads, man!
Oh man, that's a tongue twister at almost 10 o'clock. Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.com for sponsoring the podcast.
Yes, thank you guys very much. Yeah. Anybody out there, check them out for real. Get
sick
online,
ass fucking serial killer bobbleheads,
and they're so good.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
Check out the Facebook pages. Pictures of them.
Yeah.
And there's what do you think of them, Cashman?
Oh, yeah. They're fucking dope as hell.
Yeah. And they're good quality,
they
too.
They are. They're not
They're
cheap
very
at
good
all.
Quality. And they're not that much. They're like $25 a piece.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the whole collection for a deal. He's got 16 of them in the first collection. And they're getting ready to do some more, too. So
second round.
They got t-shirts. And they're doing more t-shirts. Yeah. They got all kinds of serial killer
shit.
Definitely
go check out Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.
Yeah. Also, thanks to Tool Time with Otis, that new show, for sponsoring the podcast. Be sure to check it out.
That's on like Fox 666, right?
I think that's what it is, yeah. don't forget to check out MurderMetalMayhem.com to pick up one of our shirts, koozies, and stickers. Also, go to our YouTube channel, follow us, subscribe so you know when we post stuff.
Yeah, we just added new shit, so.
Yeah, we've been putting new stuff up there, so. We cannot let them go, though, without hearing a little karaoke destruction.
We cannot
destruction.
Let them go without going to PeteAltieri.com to get some of your books.
Yeah, they could do that, too. They
yeah,
could
definitely
do that.
Pick up a book by Pete. He's a fucking great author.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And the karaoke stuff this time, though, I did it with the Drifter Killers in mind, Henry and Otis. So it's a little road trip murder song. So I think you guys will dig it. And until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And put your foot in a Drifter Killer's ass.
Can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down. Highway. just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. And I can't wait to get on the road again. Yeehaw! Motherfucker!
Mother! Mother! Man.